Amen. Man, you can't get enough of the cross, I'll guarantee you. And you don't want to get very far from it, by the way. I want you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 this morning. And I just want to say I'm certainly sorry. That pastor's not feeling well and so on. And I know he's getting a lot of TLC. Amen. Yeah, because Mr. Robin will make sure he gets that. And fact is, he may be healed over the day. But anyhow, with her and the Lord working together, you can't ever tell. He can perform a miracle pretty quick. Amen. So we're sad that he's sick and so on and had a bad night and all that. But not any of us would wish that on anybody, and we wouldn't even want it on ourselves. But anyway, and he texted me this morning, you know, I like to fell through the floor. But anyway, after I picked myself up and prayed a few times and so on, I said, yes. But anyway, here we are. So anyhow, we're not battered up maybe on the inside like he is, but I'm not sure about the outside. But anyway, we'll make it all right. Amen? But we're glad you're here, and what a good house full of people. Regardless of what's going on the outside, we're glad of what's going on the inside. Amen? And so we're glad for all the singing this morning. The Sunday school was just supreme. And I hope it wasn't your class, it wasn't the pastor's class, and we just thank God for the Lord's Supper. Then we have the ability to participate in it here, but one day there. Amen. And we're going to rejoice till He comes. And so anyhow, we're glad to be here. I think the pastor said last night he had something like 3 sermons in 1 Corinthians 15 or something, and so the next time he preaches, you might ought to bring a lunch. You know, but anyhow. Yeah, you know, because he'll be loaded up because he didn't get to preach this morning, see. And then we got Brother Pete tonight, Montero tonight, and so on. And I think we've got a guest missionary on Wednesday night and so on. So, my land of living, you know, he's going to be ready. But we love our preacher, amen? And my, what sermons he preaches and the exposition of the Word of God. And we're certainly thankful for him and the privilege to be a part of this church. And one of these days we're all going to get raptured out together and we're going to tell this world goodbye. The other day I delivered express mail. Now, let's be brief, but that's no big deal. But the point is, I was in a post office the other day, and I usually say something kind of humorous. I'm kind of, people look at me and they laugh anyway. But anyway, I was getting ready to leave, and I just went in and delivered what I picked up what I was supposed to do. And I was leaving. I said, there's a couple of ladies running it, and I said, you girls have a good afternoon. And one of them spoke up and said, don't tell me what to do. And I looked at her and just laughed, you know, and I said, man, you are one ornery woman, you know. But anyway, I said, they'll then have the kind of afternoon you want to have, you know. But anyhow, I'm going to make this trip one time, and I'm going to try to enjoy it the best I can. Amen. And I do that with Jesus. So if you've turned your Bible to John chapter 14, if you'll stand with me, I want to read the first 3 verses. Now, we're going to go through several of the verses in this chapter, but we're not going to labor you with the reading of the all the context I'm going to read this morning. But I want to kind of set the scene here because Jesus has just been betrayed by Judas in the previous chapter. And he has told him basically again that he's going to go to the cross that we've been singing about this morning. And Peter, like some of us, oh, we'll never deny you, we'll never deny you, I'll die with you. And he said, well, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. You know, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. It's amazing how things come full circle. Hello. They're trying to get rid of Jesus in the world today, too. Yeah. Yep. But he's not dead. He's still alive. Yeah, he is. And he is telling them, now I want you to get the scene here if you can before I start reading. He is telling his disciples, even though he's been betrayed and he's going to be denied, and he knows all the things ahead of time, and he also knows he's going to be crucified with the most cruel death that was known to man. and knowing what he's going to do after he's crucified. Amen. You hear what he says? Let not your heart be troubled, because I know exactly what I'm going to do. Yes, listen to me very carefully. All the trials and troubles you go through before this old world ends up, whenever that is, we're raptured out of here. You just remember one thing. He knows what he's going to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. He already knows. And he just kind of trying to tell us today, regardless of what the politicians are doing and all the, we'll leave that alone. All of them are doing. He says here to his disciples, are you a disciple?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. He said, let not your heart, the very deepest thing in your being that sometimes didn't have comfort and peace and satisfaction. Yeah. Because you don't know for sure what's going to happen. But he does.
Amen.
Yeah. But he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said that with his Heavenly Father in heaven and him on the earth, of course. Because in the next verse he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm glad eternity is not this cyberspace. Because Jesus said, I got a place. Yeah. Patsy left me about 5 months ago, 2 days ago. She went to a place. She didn't go into this eternity somewhere in oblivion. Oh, you know, we get to see her again someday. You know, whatever. Well, yeah, that's true. But Jesus has got her in a place. And she is well taken care of. Fact is, she wanted to go because he could take care of her better than I could. Yeah. And he said, and if I go, and by the way, he went to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Regardless of the hell raisers in this world, we're going to go to one that went to heaven and raised to go there. Amen. So he says, third verse again, and if I go and prepare a place for you, let me stop there again. My people, you say, preacher, when you stop, you get longer. I know. But can I say to all today, I don't care. I don't know how old Jack is here. I bet he's not as old as I am, are you, buddy? But, anyway. But my point is, I don't care who you are. The greatest person that's ever lived has a reservation in heaven for you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You say, well, you don't know what I've done. No, but he does. He'll forgive you of all of it.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right. And he'll declare his righteousness upon you so that you're ready to go.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the reason we say hallelujah for the cross.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'll let you sit down in a minute. I'm not done yet, but anyway. Third verse. I'll get out of that verse after a while, maybe. But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, my. How we thank you for your word this morning. And every day of our life, we can go back to the bread of heaven, Lord, and get some fresh bread out of the oven. And, Lord, we're thankful. That you are more than we could ever imagine.
Amen.
And so, dear Lord, we pray that you'll bless this message this morning. If there's one here that does not know you, has not come to the cross, and have asked you, realizing they're a sinner and you're the Savior. Fact is, you're the only Savior. Can't go to somebody else, somewhere else, some other church or whatever. You gotta meet Jesus at the foot of the cross. And when you meet him there and you realize you're the sinner and he's the Savior, you ask him and him alone to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll come into your heart and be your Savior. So that when you die, to be absent from your body, you'll be present with the Lord. So if there's someone here today that's lost and without Christ, may they realize that today. He's waiting on them to come. He's calling them and waiting for them to come. If they'll come, he'll save them. For those of us, dear Lord, that are Christians, and we've been Christians and maybe some of us for some years, thank you, Lord, you saved me some almost 68 years ago. And, Lord, I thought maybe I lost it along the way, but when I checked back in, you said, oh, you never lost it. You just got a little ways away from me. Lord, we're glad that when we confessed our sins, you said, come here. I love you. There may be someone here this morning that's not as close to the Lord as they'd like to be, but they're as close to the Lord as they want to be. And they can be closer because he hasn't moved. So Lord, help us to move today and repent. The Bible says there's joy in heaven over repentance. Now sometimes we look at repentance, we don't think that's very much joy because we have to give up something. But hey, there's nothing worth keeping to have more of Jesus. So Lord, help in this service this morning that everyone will do what they wish they had done when they see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, and for your honor and glory we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Little reading here called Easter in a Nutshell. And I know it's not Easter Sunday, but the preacher went to the pulpit on the Easter morning carrying a rusty old bird cage. Said he, yesterday I was going down the street and I met a little boy who had this old bird cage full of frightened, fluttering sparrows. And I asked him where and how he got them, and he said, oh, I just put out a little bait and caught them. Well, what are you going to do with them? I asked. He said, oh, I'm going to play with them and for a while, I'll tease them and have some fun. Then what will you do with them, he said. I have an old tomcat that likes birds, so I'll feed them to him. What would you take for them, he said. Oh, mister, you don't want them, these old birds. They ain't good for nothing. They can't sing. They carry mites. They make nests in your gutters. You don't want them, do you? But I insisted and said to the preacher, what will you take for them? He told me $2. So I gave him the money and he gave me the cage and hurried down the street, happy with his bargain. Then I took the bird cage around the corner, opened the door and let all the birds go free. Then the minister said, the Lord Jesus met the devil one day and said to him, what do you have there? And the devil said, oh, I have the human race trapped in this cage. How did you get them? Jesus asked, oh, I just put out some bait in the Garden of Eden and trapped them. And what do you plan to do with them? Jesus asked, oh, said the devil, I'm going to make them hate each other, kill each other, make war, divorce, commit adultery, and then, asked Jesus, then I'm going to dump them in hell, said the devil. What will you take for them, asked Jesus. Oh, you wouldn't want these people. They're horrible. Why, they'd kill you. They'd spit in your face. They'll betray you. They're horrid creatures. Surely you don't want them, but insisted Jesus. What will you take? And the devil with a smirk on his face said, they'll cost you your life. The last drop of blood you have in your veins. And Jesus says, I'll pay the price. And he went out to the old rugged hill. Called Calvary, where the cross we've been singing about was. Shed his blood, opened the cage, and let us go free. This, my blood, is Easter in a nutshell. Now that's what, to simulance, Jesus did for us, and here what we're looking at today is what precedes that when he died on the cross and shed his blood. So that we could go free. Free from condemnation. Free from the penalty of hell. Free from a lot of trials and troubles. If we'll just follow his word. The victory is in Jesus. Okay? It's not in you. It's not in me. Okay? I heard a preacher and evangelist many, many years ago said these words. I learned that I don't have to sin. Didn't say I didn't sin. I just learned I don't have to. Okay? Because my victory is in Christ Jesus, which is victorious over sin, hell, death, and the grave. So when I'm tempted to sin, I don't have to sin. I make a choice. And that sin is what caused Jesus to have to go to the cross. And yet he says here very clearly to his disciples in this last day, at this last Passover that we said something about in Sunday school this morning, he has the comfort and he has the solutions to all of our trials. And notice here that he talks to Philip, and Philip in verse 8. Now, I said I'd go down to some other verses, but I just want you to know he said he's going to prepare a place for us. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Listen to me. Do we understand what he was getting ready to go through, and yet because he knew what was going to happen, he said, don't worry about it. Let not your heart be troubled. Because he knew what he was going to do. And so, he said, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us. And listen to what Jesus says back to Philip. He said, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I want you to notice in this scripture how personal he is. Jesus is. By the way, if he's your Savior, he has been your personal Savior. Amen. He didn't die just to save everybody else's sins. He died for yours. Amen. And it has been said you can take that to the bank of grace. Amen. Yeah. And he said, Philip, you went with me a long time. Have you not... Has he not seen me? Has seen the Father? How sayest thou, show us the Father? Goes on and says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? These words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me that believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, let me just say this, that Jesus is trying to clearly say, as clearly as he possibly can say, that he is God, he's God's Son, but the Father is in him, and the works that he has done, and the work that he is getting ready to do, for all mankind was from the power of the Father, which is God, and what I'm going to accomplish is because God is in me. Now you walk on this earth, you gotta believe, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you gotta believe He is God. Because He is God. You say, well, can He do everything God can do? If He's God, He can. And he is God. And he just saying, Philip, you walked these 3.5 years with me. Don't you believe I'm from the Father and the Father's in me? If you don't believe the words that I say and so on, believe the works that I do. How many miracles did Philip see him do? Let that run across your mind a little while, including the raising of the dead. Say, well, there isn't anybody can do that but God, and God the Father's in heaven. And Jesus said, no, God the Father's in me. Did you get it, Philip? By the way, you know why we come every 7 days? Because we forget some things about God. He kind of said that perfectly. He probably ought to put every other day. Hello. But no, I'm not second guess what God does, because He does everything perfectly. And He knew we had to make a living, because He said that, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's the reason some people, well, never mind, I won't go there. What the government can give you, they can take away. If they put it in my checking account, I know they can take it out. Yep, they can. All they have to do is pass one little law. Think about that. You say, oh, well, I'm pretty secure. You may not be. You better put your security in God rather than in the government. Hello? Well, that's enough for that. You know, I'm not running for office, but anyway. But He's telling Philip very clearly, you saw God the Father when you've seen God in me. And He's trying to comfort Philip to understand that He is God. And you'll have comfort when you understand that Jesus is not just a person that come to the earth for 33 years and died on the cross and went back to heaven. He's God, and the things He did indicates without question that He is God. Okay? And then He makes that clear to Philip. And then notice when He goes over to chapter 16, and He's talking to Philip, but everybody is there. By the way, God may be talking to you this morning, but He's talking to everybody else that's here too. Yeah. And look at verse 16 now. Okay, He's continuing to talk here, and they're all listening here. And I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and He'll give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Let me stop right there again. that's forever from right now. You know, when you got saved, He come in. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Okay? And whatever you're good you see, whatever strength you see, whatever stability, it's not from an old human man. It's from what God is doing through that human being. Man and flesh can never take credit for what God does. Never. And so, He says, He abides even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. They're blind to those things, and neither knoweth Him, but He says, ye know Him. For He will He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then He says to Philip very clearly, as the rest of them are listening, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. In a little while and the world see me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. I don't know about you, but the world may not seem, but I see Him on a regular basis. Yeah. I've driven that express truck. I won't get on that again. But my point is that all this week there have been several times that we get rain, scattered showers, not just abundant showers. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, whenever I stop at these post offices, it'd be real nice of you if it wasn't raining whenever I get there. Now, you can believe this or not. I really don't care, because it happens to me, and when it happens to me, I know. But every stop I've made this week, I never got rained on. Hello, you have not because you ask not. You say, oh, He don't care if it's raining on you or not. Well, I asked Him, and He must have cared about me. Hello? Yeah. If your child was going around through the world and you had a choice where it rained on them or not, and you made the choice, I don't want it to rain on them. Well then, but I got a Father that cares for me a lot more than my father cared for me on earth. Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. By the way, the Father in heaven is able to do a lot more than the Father on earth. Yeah. So anyhow, He said here, you believed in me, the world don't see you, but He said, ye see me, Philip. Because I live, ye shall live also. Well, wait a minute. He's not talking about just living now. He's talking about living after it's all over. Because He's already said, I'm going to send you a comforter. He can't send a comforter if He's not alive. Well, anyhow. And he goes on and said, "And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." I don't know how many times you see the word love there in that verse, but love is a wonderful thing. Yeah. You ever want your children to go on the way to come back? Every time you're in a telephone call or you send them a card telling you love them. I've got my oldest son always says, "I love you," every time he signed off on the telephone. And he says these words. He said, "Dad, the reason I do that is because I want, if something happens to me, I want the last words that I've said to the person I talked to, said to them, I love them." I texted my son in Wilmington, North Carolina this morning right after Pastor called me, and I said, "Would you pray for your dad?" He's going to be teaching the teens in his church tonight on the prodigal son. By the way, he was that prodigal. Maybe some of us was too. But he's had the privilege to stand before some teens tonight and talk about it. Hello. I text my daughter. My daughter will be playing the piano for their church services, and her husband will lead the singing. I email my youngest son, because he don't have one of these new iPhones and Androids and all that. You know, he just, you know, well, anyway. I think he still has a common flip phone. It about flips me out, but anyway. But I had to email him, and he said, "Dad, I've already prayed for you this morning, but I'll pray for you again." He pastors a church in Iowa. I just got 3 kids. It sure is nice to be able to text them or email them. And they ever once say, "Dad, we're praying for you." They might have said some more things like, "Between you and God, it'll be all right. You can handle it." Yeah. Can I just say by saying that Jesus is a personal God? Yeah. He's personal. And if you don't feel like he's personal to you, then you're not close enough. And I don't know what's in between you and him. I mean, I'm not going there. I don't even know. Okay. I just know the scripture says over in James, he says, "Now, if you'll draw nearer to me, I'll draw nearer to you." If God is the pulpit and it don't move, who just moved over here? So God gets it right when he says, "If you'll draw near to me," isn't that amazing? I get near to him and automatically he gets near to me. So if I really want to get close to him, I just get a little closer to him. And if I get back closer to him, it's automatic. He gets closer to me. To where one of these days we're walking in hand and mouth to ear. Hello. And so I've got to go on. Time is fleeting and people getting hungry. I'm giving you spiritual bread. You can get your other bread later. But he says, "He that loveth me." I just want to say here that I did a study many years ago in Matthew 27 in regard to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." It's not Paul's love for him. It's that Paul understood his Jesus' love for him. If you study about the crucifixion of Christ, And you study about all the emotions he went through, about betrayals and false trials and false witnesses, and then the crown of thorns and the robe put on him, left on him for 3 hours, and then jerked off, and then his back hanging like flesh hanging off of his body, and so on and so forth, and the pain. It's all. A neurologist one time says we got 5 different types of nerves, and what Christ went through reached every one of them deeply. You ever have somebody say, "Boy, they get on my nerves." You got on his. But he never spoke a word. Not one. And then when they took the robe off and slammed him down on that piece of timber with the flesh hanging raw and the nerves screaming before he ever touched the old rugged tree. Then they hear the pounding of the nails going through the hands. And then because of the way he hung on the cross, he could suffocate except he'd get a hold of those nails and push up with his feet and make them 7 last say. Because he had to do that to get enough air to say to you, "Father, forgive them." Here's what I'm saying. If you do not ever understand how much he loved you, you will not serve him as you ought. He says to Philip here, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." You say, "Are you about done with this sermon?" No, I'm getting pretty good, but I've got to wrap it, I know. I hope you'll read that verse over. But let's go on to 27-28. Because he says, not only that, not only will I give you comfort. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. I know what I'm going through and I know the end result." And he does. And he says, "I don't want your heart to be troubled." And he says, "Now, Philip, if you believe in the Father, if you don't believe my words, believe my works." And he's done a lot of works that Philip got to see. And he said, "Then we'll send the comforter to you." And then he says, and "I'll love you. My love will be with you," and so on and so forth. "And I'll manifest myself to him." And then he says, "And a peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Then he said these words again, "Let not your heart be troubled." But he then said, "Neither let it be afraid." Can you see Daniel praying that prayer when they said, "You're not supposed to pray to any other God"? And he's going into the lion's den. I mean, the human lions already wanted to kill him. But the beast of the lions didn't want to kill him. And Daniel just went ahead and prayed anyway, just like he did before time. You know why? Because his heart wasn't troubled and he wasn't afraid. He knew what God would do. Yep. See, if we love him enough, we know what's going to happen ahead of time. Because he's already told us. He makes it clear to us, everyone. You say, "Well, I don't know that God really hears me." Well, maybe you ought to keep talking to him. Maybe. You know, he will hear you. Yeah. But if you've got a lot of sin in your life, you better get that cleaned up first. And it's not hard to get cleaned up because he does the cleaning, you don't. You just confess and agree with him that it's sin and you forsake it. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsaketh him shall have mercy. 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 Wow. Sure glad I don't get what I deserve. I heard a guy say one time, "I can't get over the grace that I'm under." I ain't getting over it. But anyway, he said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world can't give you the peace that I'm going to give you. And that I am giving you, and the understanding that, hey, it's going to be all right. He said, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away. And come again to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. Next Sunday we'll say, He is not here, He is risen. And the next three words, as He said. And so he says, yeah, I'll give you a piece. And he said, yeah, you've heard that I've said to you, I go away and come again to you. If you love me, you will rejoice. Because I said, I go to the Father, and my Father is greater than I. And then we go on down to verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. In other words, their purpose was set up before the foundation of the world to die for sinners. That's exactly what he did, or is getting ready to do. Then he says, arise, let us go hence. You know what he's saying? He said, enough explanation. You either believe or you don't. You're on one side or the other. And so he says, let us be going, because we got a duty to perform that me and the Father agreed with a long time ago, that we're going to die for everybody's sin. It's going to be paid for at the cross. Listen to this, if you will. We're about to conclude. It's called Because I Live. If Christ, who died, had stopped at the cross, His work had been incomplete. If Christ had been who was buried, stayed in the tomb, He would have only known defeat. But the way of the cross never stops at the cross. Anybody say hallelujah about that time? And the way of the tomb leads on to the victorious grace in the heavenly place where our risen Savior has gone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When it's all said and done, folks, that's all that's going to matter in your life. Do you know Him today? I said, do you know Him? And I mean by that, do you know that you have, you, like He talked personally to them, have you come to the cross knowing that He's the Savior? You're the sinner. By the way, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved if you're going to heaven. Because down in chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus made it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm sure glad that in my pilgrim journey of life that I found the way, the truth, and the life. When I was 8 years old, I called upon Jesus to forgive me of my sin because some preacher preached on hell. Because he said, that's where you're going if you've never met Jesus at the cross. I've been raised in church, but my mom and dad decided on a Sunday afternoon to go hear Jack Schuler that was in the Shrine Mosque. He said, is that where you got saved? Yeah, it's a mighty big place for a country boy. There's a lot of people there. But before the service was over that afternoon, with all the people there, I met one that I've never forgotten, nor has forgotten me. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
All to Him I owe.
Amen.
I sat down the other day, and I've got a I got to thinking about how many people, how many relatives. Five of my seven uncles were preachers. My grandfather was a deacon in church, I guess, all his life, and my grandfather preached, and I, as I said, five of my seven uncles were preachers and so on, and they're all in heaven, and Patsy gets to enjoy it, and I'm not there. So, I believe without question, every one of them is singing a choir back to this guy right here. Say, David, exalt Him more while you've got time, because He's much more than what we could ever imagine.
Amen.
Wow. I don't know when I'm going to make the trip, but I know one thing. He's got it all settled.
Amen.
And He's on the winning side.
Amen.
And death doesn't win, and His kingdom never ends. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we thank You today for Your goodness to us. Thank You for Your word. Lord, bless the invitation time. Lord, I know You've dealt with hearts. Don't have no question about that. Don't know how You've dealt with them, and it's not my business. But it is their business to do something with You that You dealt with them about. Whatever that may be. It may be for salvation. It may be to get some sin out of their life that they recognize today that they're not as close to You as they ought to be. So, Lord, we just pray Thy will be done in this service, in this invitation time. Jesus is saying, come. Whatever the case is, He's saying, come. If you'll come, I'll comfort you. I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. It won't be the peace that the world gets. The world don't know how to have this kind of peace. They never experienced this kind of peace. And so, dear Lord, I pray that You'll just have Your will and Your work done in each heart and each life. Thank You for the privilege we've had to be here. Hear the singing and the teaching and the preaching of Your word. Help it to change our lives. You're in the business of transforming, not conforming. So help us to be transformed in what You'd have us to be by the changing of our minds to love You a little closer. Like You love us. We'll be careful to praise You. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. And for Thy sake we pray. Amen.